Ruth chapter 4, verse 7. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. As is often the case throughout Scripture, details reveal much more than their innocuous description allow. A verbal negotiation and subsequent agreement between Boaz and the unnamed closest relative has been concluded. In modern times, such an agreement often requires the agreement be put in writing, in the form of a contract. In former times in Israel, the form of attestation was much, much different. There are two key components in the agreement: redemption and the exchange of land. The exchange of land custom involves the symbolic removal of one's sandal, in effect saying, I no longer have the right to walk on the property I am transferring to you. The abdication of the closest relative's obligation respecting levirate law is a bit less cordial. Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning in verse 7. But if a man does not desire to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel. He is not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother to me. Then the elders of his city shall summon him and speak to him. And if he persists and says, I do not desire to take her, then his brother's wife shall come to him in the sight of the elders and pull his sandal off his foot and spit in his face. And she shall declare, thus it is done to the man who does not build up his brother's house. In the case of Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and the unnamed closest relative, however, the agreement regarding redemption is mutual and cordial. So no bodily fluids are involved. So the closest relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. The removal of the sandal transfers all rights as kinsman redeemer to Boaz. Boaz, in turn, makes it clear to all within earshot that he exercises all rights and privileges given him as kinsman redeemer. This is so much more than a legal matter. This story cast itself hundreds of years forward to the kinsman redeemer of all mankind. Let's review. Beginning with the births of the kinsman redeemer, and the kinsman redeemer. First, Boaz and Jesus were both born in Bethlehem. The redemptions were selfless. Number three, in order to redeem, both did so at a cost. Special note here. There is no real comparison to be made between Boaz's cost and that of our Savior. This is a type. Number four, as a result of the redemption, both Boaz and Jesus became bridegrooms. Number five, both brides were undeserving, making the redemption an act of grace. Take a look back at Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. Both redemptions included property. One, an estate. The other, a kingdom. The restoration of inheritance was paramount in both cases. And finally, the basis of the correspondent agreements was death. Continuing in verse 11. All the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." The blessing of the witnesses at the gate of Bethlehem are seen in a future vision from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in to her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Flash forward centuries to the event announced by John in Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." I hope, as you have followed this story over the past month, you have taken note of the number of changes in the central character. here, Naomi returns as the focus of the blessings given by God. She is redeemed from the depths of despair we read in Ruth chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. The question at this point, is Boaz the true kinsman redeemer? Or is the Lord God Almighty? There is no question that Boaz is being used mightily as a bondservant of Yahweh. Stay tuned for the extent to which this is true. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. Please recall a similar selfless blessing by the Lord from Exodus chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother, that is, Jochebed. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Jochebed selflessly gave her son providentially to the daughter of Pharaoh, who hired Jochebed to nurse the kinsman redeemer of the Hebrews. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram Amminadab, and to Amminadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz, Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse, David. If you haven't made the full connection, have a look at a snippet of Matthew's genealogy of Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. The Lord has inserted Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi squarely in the center of the lineage of Jesus Christ. God has, in his role as sovereign of the universe, managed the affairs of men to accomplish his purposes. What is different then as opposed to now? For now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.